Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Lauren Green serves as Fox News Channel's chief religion correspondent. Her book, Lighthouse Faith, God as a Living Reality in a World Immersed in Fog, explores the heart of the Christian doctrine and a pathway of perceiving God as an interactive, hands-on presence, a caring and loving being. Dear friend, the care and love of God is for you. Even as you listen to our show today, we remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Christ. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, no matter what it is, you know, Christ loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And dear one, today, the living Christ is calling you. Would you open your heart to Jesus? That is our prayer. That's our hope. A concert pianist with a degree in piano performance from the University of Minnesota, Lauren Green graduated from the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. Lauren became Miss Minnesota in 1984 and was third runner-up in the Miss America pageant in 1985. Lauren, welcome to our show.
It's a great blessing to be here. Thank you so much. Danny, can I call you Danny or Pastor?
Danny? Okay. Perfect, yes. Lauren, so you grew up in Minnesota. What part and what was it like?
I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is, it's just the heart of the Midwest. And I look at it as sort of this idyllic place to grow up. And not only where it was, but when it was. I grew up in a time when, you know, probably 90% of my classmates, maybe 95% of my classmates, maybe more than that, their parents, you know, they lived in two-parent households. Their mothers didn't work, and everybody's mom was at home cooking and cleaning or whatever. They were stay-at-home moms, and that's the way I grew up. And, you know, I understand things are different now, but in Minnesota in that time, I just grew up in a different era where I had such incredible security and love and just the sense that I was always loved and taken care of. And we weren't wealthy at all. Certainly, probably lower middle class, I guess, in terms of income. My father never rose above middle management where he worked. Never didn't have a college degree. So you see, I mean, money doesn't make your world better. It just, you know, sometimes can complicate it, but certainly, it was just a wonderful place to grow up.
Hmm. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would say a lot of people, but, you know, I really give credit to my great-aunt Rita in the book because she taught us a game that I talk about called Bunkum.
Mm-hmm.
But she was such a wonderful woman of faith. She didn't have children of her own, but she was a school teacher, and she was a Sunday school teacher, and she had great faith. And she was the one who really helped my brother when he was, my oldest brother, who was like 15 years older than me. He wound up in prison. And she really believed in him. You know, she believed that, you know, God has a plan. You know, being in prison is not a life sentence. And because God can make all things new. God can make all things new. And she worked on him. And I'll tell you, it worked. His story is amazing in itself. But I don't think I ever appreciated my aunt when she was there. But now, when I was younger, I should say. But now I look back and I'm thinking, what great devotion she had towards us. What incredible faith she had that she showed us. And now that I look back on it, I look and say, wow, I'm so glad I knew this woman. I'm so glad that God put this woman in my life.
Lauren, give us a snapshot. I mean, take us there. You write about it in your book. What happened to your brother?
You know, my brother, he's 15 years older than me. And by the time I was born, he'd already been into, alcohol, and some drugs. And he went to jail. Mm-hmm. And he got out, kind of the usual, because you've got two parents at home, love you, and work steady and all that stuff. So you come from a good place, so they're going to send you home. But he got involved in the same crowd and got into heroin and alcohol, drugs, and went back to prison. And then third time, same thing, but got into theft as well. Same, just hanging around with the wrong people and sent to prison.
Yeah.
And parents said, nope, you're going to stay this time. Mm-hmm. No getting out, no bailing out, no nothing. You're going to pay the price now. And my aunt wrote to him in prison after my parents had kind of washed their hands with him, in a sense that because we've got three other kids at home, we have to take care of them. There were four other kids at home. We have to take care of them. We can't just, put all the focus on you. So my aunt began writing to him, sending him books about healing, about positive, mindset. And one of the books she sent him was The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And that started to turn his life around. That just started to turn things around. And at that point, all of the other things that she had been sending him started to make sense, the healing. And I really believe the power of the Holy Spirit just coming on him at that moment, just saying, your life is going to change. Because, I talked about this in a speech a couple of days ago, and I said, he'd been bowing down to drugs. He'd been bowing down to alcohol. He'd been bowing down to crime. Those things had become his master. But on that day, it's like the Holy Spirit was saying, you have a new master. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never abandon you to the grave. And it just changed his life. And he felt free, even behind bars. And he got his GED in prison. When the prison offered two slots for a school release program at the St. Cloud State University, two slots, he got one of them. He got a degree in psychology and sociology. He got married to a beautiful young woman. They've been married almost 50 years now. He has four kids and a lot of grandkids. He was on the state parole board. He became the head of the state parole board. He was pardoned by the governor. He got a doctorate in education. And I tell the story that here, when he's 20 years old, he's a number in prison. That's what he's known as, right? And now he's Dr. Green.
Dr. Green.
Wow.
You see what I mean? This is the power that God can do with any life. I can make all things new. That's what his word says, and his word has power. His words have power.
Lauren, how did you become a Christian?
A lot of people have they have revelations,
mm-hmm.
and some people are just on a journey. I think I'm the journey kind. I was born into a Christian household, celebrated Christmas and Easter, and went to church on Sundays, and I went to Sunday school. All of those things were part of my life. But I think for a lot of people, God is not a reality. God is sort of a concept. God is a sort of accessory to your life. Something you kind of consult when you're in trouble, right? But God as a living reality means you mold your life to fit the reality, the objective reality of God. And I think when I was about 18 or 19, I remember asking the question kind of in my group of, friends at school saying, what is the question that answers every other question? It was like I was trying to hone in on the one thing I knew was that at the crux, at the core of everything. You see, I believed in God, but I didn't even associate that question with God. And that was very telling. But I really do believe that because I asked it earnestly and with a full heart, God said, I'm gonna show you the answer to that question. And it took many years. And this book really
And the book is entitled Lighthouse Faith, God as a Living Reality in a World Immersed in Fog. You can find out more about the book. You can get the book at lighthousefaithbook.com. Again, lighthousefaithbook.com. When we come back from our break, we'll talk about the book, Lighthouse Faith. I'm wondering, why did Lauren Green choose that title? Lighthouses have a great deal of significance in our society. Well, she explains some of that in quite detail. At the same time, I think about Aunt Rita, or the Aunt Rithas in our lives. Maybe you have had an Aunt Rita in your life who never gave up on you. She was a light that saw the light of God in you, even when your life was, well, at least at that time, maybe filled with darkness. But she saw light. Aunt Rita. Or maybe today you are to be that Aunt Rita to someone else who is in a very dark place. Well, today we have Lauren Green, the author of the book Lighthouse Faith. When we come back, we'll share more heart to heart with you. More from Lauren Green.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Lauren Green has the distinction of being the first on-air person to be hired by Fox News Channel. Yes. Lauren Green. She's our guest today. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maher. We're grateful that you're joining us today. You can find out more about our program. Maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com and find out more and get the book Lighthouse Faith by Lauren Green at lighthousefaithbook.com. Again, lighthousefaithbook.com. Lauren, you mentioned in our last segment, you mentioned the game Bunk'em.
Yes.
Explain for us. What is
Bunk'em?
First
of all, you can actually get the book on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, too. So
okay.
So make sure that that's an option for people if they want to get it.
All right.
There is a great part of the book, and I realized how important it was. I was trying to explain about my idea about, you know, God as a living reality and the sort of structure in the Ten Commandments, and I was trying to explain how God is hiding in plain sight. And I told a story about my Aunt Rita teaching my sister and I, when we were little, a game called Bunk'em. And she would take a common object like a cone or a spoon or a fork or something common and hide it in a room, but in plain sight. Like it could be on a lampshade, or it could be sticking up from a couch or something, but it had to be hiding in plain sight. So we would come back into the room and then search for the object. And then whichever one of us found it, whoever found it would just say, "Bunkum," and then sit down and let the other person try to figure out where it was. And it was so fun because you just laugh and laugh because one person sometimes just could never find this object. And it was right there. And I realized that, you know, perhaps that God was playing this cosmic game of Bunkum with us, you know, that he was hiding in plain sight. That, you know, and what I also explain in the book is that once the object was found, the room began to revolve around where this object was. Everything was defined by its relationship to that object. And that's kind of how the search for God becomes. That, you know, first of all, you don't give up because you know it's there. And then when you find it, the whole room takes on a different hue because now it's defined by its relationship to the object.
Mm.
And that's the way God is. When you find God, everything begins to revolve around that relationship. Everything now is focused on God as a reality, and everything is defined by its relationship to God.
Why did you choose Lighthouse to illustrate faith?
You know, lighthouses are incredibly powerful image bearers. And, you know, this book has been, I've been working on this book for more than a decade. But the imagery of the lighthouse came in fairly late in the game, you know, after I'd really got the thesis together. The lighthouse descended on me in a revelation, really, when I was going through some tough times. And a friend of mine had brought me to her summer house on Long Island. And as I began to sort of heal from, you know, what I was going through, I'd looked at this picture of a lighthouse, which was sitting on a table, and I'd looked at it constantly. But at that moment, I realized in that my healing moment that God had been with me the whole time, you know, that he had not just protected me. He had not just, you know, shown me the way. He had wept with me. And that, to me, was just incredible power. But more than that, lighthouses, I think, are divine messengers, that they are a messenger of God's love and his law. Because love is, of course, you know, we see that in the hope that lighthouses bring. They're designed to save lives, give hope, give comfort, light the way, and tell you to come home. This is what lighthouses do for you, give you this strength and comfort. But more than that, the lighthouse structure is very much like how the Ten Commandments are structured, with this beacon at the top that says, "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." And then the other laws are defined by the relationship to that law. You can't break laws 2 through 10 until you first break number 1, right? If you commit adultery, it is because something else or someone else has become more desirable to you than God. If you steal, it's because something has become worth more to you than God. If you kill, it means your judgment has now surpassed God's judgment. You see, so all the laws are defined by the relationship first to the first commandment and second by the relationship to everything else. And it seemed to me, as I was going through looking at, you know, as in music, it seemed to me that that was a structure. That was a sort of a closed system where you could actually transfer this to a physical structure, not just a spiritual structure. And I don't say this in the book, but I've since said it, you know, we all have taken science and advanced science or physics, and we all learned Einstein's theory of relativity, which is equals mc squared. What that means is energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. It means something we can't see, energy, is equal to something we can see, which is mass, but times the speed of light. You see, light is the component in there. So if something you can't see is equal to something you can see in Einstein's theory of relativity, is it too much a leap of faith to think that the structure of the lighthouse, the structure of the Ten Commandments has a physical reality as well.
Hmm. You talked about the closed system. You mentioned that. You mentioned it relating to music.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go further. Explain what you mean by in relation to music and, say, biology.
Well, you know, this is how this sort of physical revelation kind of hit me. Because I'd sort of understood this structure of the Ten Commandments through a sermon that I'd heard years ago. And I was in Ethiopia at the time and doing a harmonic analysis of the Hallelujah Chorus, which I was going to prepare for a presentation that I was going to give at a church in Atlanta when I came back from Ethiopia. And I was sitting there in my hotel room looking at the structure and writing down the chords and the harmonies and all that, and where it was going, where it was coming from. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, like a revelation, that here was, in musical form, the structure of the lighthouse, the structure of the Ten Commandments. Here it was. That scales are built much the same way. There's a seminal point, which is the first note of the scale, and every one of the keys in the scale is defined by its relationship to that first note, and second by its relationship to everything else, right? The notes in the scale are defined by their distance from their interval of to the first note. And that, to me, was like a revelation, because here was something that was based on something that man didn't create. The vibratory nature of music and the overtone series and all of that, that's how we built our harmony. So we have not created the harmony that we hear. It is simply in its physical nature. And that, to me, was an incredible revelation.
What difference has your relationship with Jesus made in your life?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I was speaking on Friday, and I said, you know, I was talking about music and the power of music and how, you know, Johann Sebastian Bach, one of the greatest composers that ever lived, wrote in the end of pretty much everything he wrote, Soli Deo Glory, which is "To God Alone Be Glory." Because he felt that music's only purpose was to glorify God. And it's a glorifying tool. And I started talking about how even popular music, sometimes I think if it's a love song, it's almost like the soul crying out for the living God. You know, because no human being can live up to the standards of a lot of the love songs, you know, perfectness that is in the human being, that they talk about in the human being. And so I brought up James Taylor's song, "How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You." I said, I can't hear that song without singing it to Jesus. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what it feels like, how sweet it is to be loved by you, you know? And just think of the words. And that's how I explained the relationship with Jesus. I needed the shelter of someone's arms. And there you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs, and there you were. The sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotions. I want to stop and thank you, Jesus. How sweet it is to be loved by you. You see, that, I know that I'm, you know, probably James Taylor is not a Christian, and maybe he doesn't like me taking his song and making it about Jesus, but it's a perfect love song, and it really perfectly explains this heartfelt longing for a transcendent love that surpasses all understanding. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Because I am loved, not because I'm lovable, because God is love. I'm a sinner saved by grace, you know? If I didn't have Jesus, I deserve death. I deserve, you know, to be thrown off a cliff. But because I have Jesus, because he has paid the penalty, that he has paid the penalty of God's own wrath, I don't have to. How sweet it is to be loved by him.
Dear friend, as you listen to Lauren Green share out of her heart, I mean, just resonating and instinctively about the love of God, Perhaps there is a hunger in your heart to know the love of God, to feel the love, to even get a taste of what Lauren is expressing. Experientially, you want that. Well, God is not withholding from you, unwilling to love. His love is for you. And you know what? I think that's why, Suzanne, I think that's why we're here. Even today, mm-hmm. you think, well, why am I listening to Lauren Green on this day at this moment? Well, we believe that God has set this all up in his divine purpose. In fact, Lauren writes about the unmovable mover or the first cause. She writes even about those things in the book. The book, her book, Lighthouse Faith, has many dimensions to it that will touch you in different ways, different places, at different times in your life. And it will be an incredible tool to share with someone else, even someone you may be praying for or trying to reach with the love of Jesus. And maybe today you might not even have a personal relationship with God, but your ears have perked up, your heart is quickened, and you say, I want to know more. Well, go to lighthousefaith.com. Go to Amazon.com. Go to BarnesandNoble.com. You can get the book there. Lauren Green, sharing heart. Hey, there, you know what? There's nothing quite like just having a conversation, sharing on these very deep levels. In some ways, there's an intellectual component too. But it's not only winning the mind, it's winning the heart. Not just winning the heart, but the mind. More from Lauren Green when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, Suzanne Maurer is actually singing that James Taylor song, How Sweet It Is to Be and Loved by You. And she's, of course, in this context, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Lauren Green has emitted the grace of God, as she shared just before our break. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Lauren Green was a Templeton Cambridge Fellow, studying areas of science and religion at the University of Cambridge as a journalist. The Good Life Radio Show here. Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer, and Lauren Green with us today. You can find out more about her book, Lighthouse Faith, at lighthousefaithbook.com. You can get it at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. Thank you for joining us today. Suzanne, before our break, you were just glowing with praise of what we were discussing.
Well, Lauren, we're just sitting here. Our heads are just bobbing up and down in agreement with everything you're saying. But I hope our listeners are hearing how you're beautifully and lovingly just oozing the love of Jesus in a personal relationship with Christ, which is exactly what we want our listeners to have and to receive. It's lovely.
Lauren, you mentioned that sorrow struck you as you reflected on the light that's not looked to as a beacon for help. The light is there, but something struck you for those that weren't looking to the light. Describe more about that.
Well, one of the things about lighthouses that are important to understand in a faith perspective is that they are outside of us, you know, and that we have to look up to the light. We can't look inward to the light, although we have a light within us. But it's like a pilot light that really only ignites when we look to the light, you know? It ignites in a flame when we look to the proper light. One of the things that is one of the science aspects of this book really, really actually floored me. It was something that Dr. John Lennox opened up to me about human beings. And this is one of those aha moments that is so simple and yet became so profound. He said, you know, there are many bioluminescent animals in the world that have their own light. They can see in the darkness. You know, you've got owls and cats and owls and, you know, bats and those sort of things that they have. You know, bats have this sort of sonar going for them, even though they're blind. But some animals that are bioluminescent, they carry their own light, or they see in the dark. But us human beings that are supposedly the highest of the food chain, and we are made in the image of God. We have, you know, trillions of synaptic connections in our minds, and we make, you know, instant decisions about various things. We do not possess our own light. We cannot see in dark, and that's a physical reality. And Dr. John Lennox says, isn't that odd that we would be made that way? God certainly could have made us being able to be our own light, but he didn't make us that way. And I think that's on purpose, so that we would always look to him for our light. Hmm. And I thought that was incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm. So you write, so perhaps all along the type of light God introduced was the kind of light you can see.
Well, one of the things, right, you know, like I split the book into three component parts. And the reason I did this, you know, when the revelation about this sort of physical structure in the world of the Ten Commandments, you know, how it kind of, there was a structure that could be sort of a template for all law. Mm-hmm. And I saw it in music. I started to see it in many, many other kinds of disciplines. I saw it in biology, you know, like the idea of the nucleus of a cell. I saw it in architecture. I saw it in a lot of different disciplines, language. And I thought, my goodness, this book could be like, you know, 3,000 pages long. I said, I really don't have to make it that long. It doesn't have to be all of these different disciplines. It only has to fit into three categories, because I said, if this really is true, if God created the world, then I only have to break it down into three component parts, because that's the Trinity. Hmm. Could I break the world down into three component parts with this law operating as sort of a template? And I found that I could, in terms of splitting it into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I found that I could split it into three categories of the covenant, the sacrifice, the glory, that these would be ways, these would explain the the beings of the Trinity, the persons of the Trinity, rather, in their functions, not in their names. So the Father is the covenant. It means of law, natural laws that are hard and true that you cannot break. Things like gravity, electromagnetic forces, the natural laws we call natural laws. These are covenant. Because if God is, you know, a loving God, the laws that he created are really covenant. And I thought that perhaps I'd say that the opening chapter of Genesis, when it talks about creation, is really more of a covenantal contract than anything. And when he says, "Let there be light," that is interesting, and many scholars have brought this out, that the word, when he says, "Let there be light," it does not create, the sun and the moon are actually created on day three or day four. So they're saying, you know, what does this mean? He says, "Let there be light." So I thought, perhaps, and I say this in the book, that I think it's not the kind of light you can see or the kind of light you can know. It's creating order. Order out of his, based on his image of how he operates. Let there be light. Let there be order. Let there be, and light is not just something you can see, but something you can know. But I believe that when he says, "Let there be light," he's creating the kind of light you can know.
Someone may be wondering, maybe even with a tinge, maybe more than a tinge of anger, perhaps even rage, when we talk about order and God creating with order, yet someone sees so much disorder, so much dysfunction in this world, and they would ask, how could a loving God allow pain and suffering? What would you say, Lauren?
Oh, my goodness. This is the age-old question. And not only that, it is what drives people from belief in God, because they can't believe that a loving God would allow kind of horrific things in this world that we see. And the problem is that, first of all, the world is broken, and that's the lesson, the wisdom from the Garden of Eden. The world is broken, and then all of the brokenness is, you know, entered into this world at that point. What do you get when people don't look to God for their hope? They don't look to God for their guidance. When they don't look to God for a myriad of other things, you get the world we have today. So, what you have is a world where people have free will, and they can. And what happens is they put themselves in the place of God. Now, someone can actually argue that, well, you know, what about something like ISIS? You know, and that's a whole other discussion, because they obviously do not believe in the God of the Bible.
Tell us a story about the father's toy for his son, and what happened in that story that you tell about that toy.
This isn't actually a story that I created in order to explain very simply what happened to the world. What happened to the world? So there is a very, very loving father, and he gives his son a very, very special gift, a very special gift. And he says, he tells him how this gift works, but be very careful, you know, don't treat it any other way, because it's very, very specific. You have to treat it this way. And so he loves his father, he loves the gift, but then, you know, one of his smarmy friends comes around, and he says, "Well, I have a gift just like that, and I can do this with it." And the little boy says, "No, no, 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 no. My dad said, you know, you can't do that with that. You can only do this." He says, "No, no, no. You can do this with it, because I have a gift just like it." So, obviously, you know what happens. The boy breaks the gift, and it's almost irreparable. Because it will take so long to fix. The father says, but he's going to fix it, but it's going to take time. But it's going to be broken until I can fix it. And so what he did, and that's the story of the Garden of Eden, that it was a gift, but it was broken, and that God repaired it, but he had to repair it with his own flesh and blood. now we are living in the age, in the overlap age, where we are living in the time where we are saved, but we are still living in a broken world. You see, we're living in an overlap. And that's why we see the pain and suffering we see. That's why we see the incredible terror that we see. But we also see beauty. There are beautiful things happening in the world as well. You know, the gospel is a very, very powerful tool. But everywhere I look, I see a world, a secular world, trying to tear it apart. Trying to tear it apart with laws. Trying to tear apart with, kind of the lifestyles. Trying to tear apart with, the sort of secular humanistic, understandings. And, I say this often enough, I say this quite often, is that the default religion of the public square is secular humanism. Nobody's really admitted it, but it's true. I mean, if you look at the laws, I mean, it really is the default religion is secular humanism, because nobody, there's no neutral position when it comes to religion. There's no neutral position. So if you're not on God's side, you're on the side of something else. There's no neutral position.
You may be wrestling with your position today. Are you on God's side, or you are on, and the words of Lauren Green, are you with something else? Now, what is that something else? Well, that can be defined, that can be conceptualized by you, but God has a side. And there's a clarity, there's a structure, there's an order, as Lauren has so beautifully explained.
You know what's really, I think one of the things that's very important for us all to understand is that God can be known. I had a woman I was talking to once, and I asked her, do you think God exists? And she said, I hope so, and I thought, well, why don't you try to find out? Why wouldn't you seek out the people that are writing about God, maybe read a book, read the Bible? And I think this is where the world immersed in fog comes in, because we almost prefer to live in a fog. Because if we actually do the work and look for God, I think a lot of us are afraid what we might find, because we don't want to give up control of our own lives. If we actually find proof of any semblance of proof of the living God, and I'm not talking about empirical proof, but when you actually have to make that leap of faith, and it seems like it's a better chance that God exists than doesn't exist, I think that's the problem. I think a lot of us fear that. And to fear that I'm going to have to give up control of my life. I'm not going to be in control anymore, because that's the basis of sin, is putting yourself in the place of God. Like, I decide what's right and wrong for myself. And that's basically what sin is. It's not this, psycho kind of killer kind of thing. And, nobody sees the sin that they do. And that's the most dangerous kind of sin, because it really draws you down this dark hallway until you can't see any kind of light. Until you start talking in this sort of, the pittiness of, like, why is my life like this? Why can't I get out of it? Because you don't see the light.
And
you don't see God working in your life.
Lauren, one of the things I love about you putting the emphasis on the first commandment is what so many people miss, because they don't stop to think that we aren't capable of loving the Lord our God with all our might. And so they think, well, I didn't break the Ten Commandments. I've never robbed a bank. I've never killed anybody. And they miss it from the get-go. And I so value your bringing that out and the emphasis you put on it.
Well, one of the things that happens is that we also fail, even though we haven't robbed a bank, the seeds of theft are in us.
Amen.
Even if we haven't committed adultery, the seeds of adultery are there. And when Jesus talked about, even if I have, lustfully looked at a woman, I've committed adultery in my heart. Jimmy Carter got a, they made jokes about him when he's talking about when he talked about that, that if I look lustfully at a woman, I've committed adultery in my heart. And the world laughed at him, made jokes about him. But that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds of these kinds of sins are within us, are possibilities. Otherwise, they wouldn't be they don't do this. Well, don't do them because these are not good things. Because you have a possibility of doing it. But if you put God first, if God is such a reality to you, that his love, his mercy, his what he's done for you is so important that you wouldn't want to break his heart. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. It's not just violating God's laws, it's breaking his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to say, God loves me. And when I sin, it hurts him. Mm-hmm. You know?
Dear friend, today maybe as you listen, something is triggered in your own heart. Perhaps you're going through a rough moment, maybe a difficult time. And the timeliness of hearing Lauren Green share her heart and how the intricacies of life, for her, at least at this season, there's a lot of clarity. Now she's able to convey that clarity through her new book, Lighthouse Faith. When we come back, a question for her about, then we'll get a little personal here, about struggles, difficulties, perhaps even in her own life. I think you'll be able to relate with what she shares, because isn't it so that we all share with struggles and difficulties? Some we might not talk about, some we might not want to share, some we may feel ashamed about, but we have them. I have them. Do you? Well, we all do. When we come back, a little from Lauren Green and how the Lord has helped her work through some of her difficulties. I think it'll help you too. Stay with us, okay? Don't leave now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Lauren Green says the reality of God is objective truth around which you shape your life. A concept of God is something you form and conform to your own life. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, Lauren Green, with us. You can find out more about this program and other resources and get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Find out more about Lauren's book, Lighthouse Faith, at lighthousefaithbook.com. And get it at amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. Lauren, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
One of the things that I think all of us have to realize is that when we're in difficult times, the Lord is there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to relieve the pressure immediately. You know what I mean? It's going to let you go through the times because we won't, our hearts won't change unless we have to overcome something, you know? Let's just say if we're prideful about, let's just say, our looks or prideful about, you know, our work or prideful about anything, a lot of times God will let us go through troubles in that area just so we can sort of take us down a few notches. You know, I'm not saying that every time we have difficulty, it's God trying to discipline you, God trying to, you know, work out the kinks of your personality. It could be one of the benefits, but it may not be the reason behind it. I don't know, because I don't profess to know why God does everything he does, why he allows certain things to happen. But I do know that if you're going through difficult times, it doesn't mean that God does not love us. That's the first thing. Remember that. God, it's not that God does not love you. But, you know, when I've gone through a difficult time, it's because, you know, something else was my fundamental trust. When I've really gotten into the depths of deep depression about something, it's a big sign that something else beside God is your fundamental trust. Right? You can believe in God. I can believe in all that's good. But something else really is operating as the thing that I go to when I'm, you know, that gives me an identity, that gives me a reason for living. Especially in a field like, you know, TV news, where your ego can get assaulted all the time. And so if you learn to be content in what you have, the storms really won't affect you as much, but it takes time to kind of get through those. It takes time to kind of accept that it's okay if, you know, I don't have a primetime show. It's okay if I'm not on the air every day. It's okay if I don't make, you know, $7 million a year. I mean, you know what I mean? These in this industry, it's a bubble that you can kind of get used to. And so one of the things that helps, you know, helped me is, one, I began... as I walked to work every day, I would listen to a sermon every day, and I would just listen to sermons all the time. And that became my reality. It was God's word became my reality. God's word became my fundamental trust, and not what I was hearing in the day-to-day. That didn't affect me because God had become my fundamental trust. So I think God allows us to go through things in order to help us turn towards him. And there's a tank tactics in warfare. And tanks are very big, bulky machinery that can really go forward and trample a lot of stuff. And there's something to be feared, right? But the tank warfare is that if you build a trench, hide it behind a hedge, the tank will just go down into it and can't get itself out, right? So if you see the trench, then you know that you have to go around it. You have to go, you direct the tank in another direction. And the tactic is, you know, show them the trench so that you force the tank to go to another direction where you really do want it to go. And this is kind of how I see God sort of working in your life. It's like he's going to cut off a certain path for you so that you are forced to go in another direction that he really wants you to go in. And that was the better direction. Obviously, in a warfare, it's not the best direction because the enemy wants to get you. But God is directing you in that way, it's because he has a better plan.
The Lord today may be redirecting you, even as he... it redirects us in our lives, Lauren, Suzanne, myself. Lauren, as we close today, someone today in that difficult moment, would you say a prayer? We've got about a minute left. Say a prayer for that dear listener.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open up the hearts, the people that are listening. And I pray for the person who's just clinging and reaching out to you to show them the way, to show them how to get out of this difficulty, to show them how to make it through this pain, to show them how to make it through the night in their tears and their sorrow, show them how to get through to the next month of paying a rent or paying a car payment or a school loan or whatever it is, dear Lord. I want you to give that person comfort and strength and the knowledge of what step to take. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. And help them make every thought captive to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help them make every moment in their life, every difficulty, help them say these words, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Timely insights from Lauren Green. Find out more about her new book, Lighthouse Faith, at lighthousefaith.com. Dear one, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Isaiah 24:15. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Lauren Green. You can find out more at lighthousefaithbook.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.